Lord, thank you for another fine day you've made. Father, we just love you. And we want to do whatever it is that you have us to do, Lord. Lord, we just ask for your anointing upon everyone tonight to do or to say what it is that you'd have us, Lord. That is the way we like to operate. We like to operate under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we just ask and we pray that it would be a blessing tonight because of your anointing upon everyone in this fellowship. Thank you for all these wonderful people that come from all over the world to join in with like-minded believers to pray and to understand that when we pray that you hear them and you answer. Thank you, Father, that sometimes we don't think that our prayers are being answered because we don't see any immediate results. But you told us to endure in our faith and to stand, and when everything else fails, to stand. And that's what we do, Lord. We just stand until we see the things happening, because we already know it's going to happen because we trust you, Lord, to fulfill the promises that you've given us as we take our sword of the Spirit and whack the enemy, take his legs out from under him, take his head off of him. Father, we just praise you for that. And in the name of Jesus right now, I'm going to do that. I'm going to take authority over the enemy, command him to be bound up and cast off of this Zoom conference call. And he cannot affect anybody's communications on here in the name of Jesus. That everybody that wants to stay on here will be able to stay. And our communications are going to be at 100%. And we thank you for it, Father. Lord, we just thank you for showing us how to war and how to be a mighty warrior of yours, Lord. That all we need to have is the Word of God and you. And we do have both. Father, we just praise you and we glorify you for all that you're going to do tonight. Give us wisdom and let us speak as an oracle of God in our humble, meek ways, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Uh-oh, got three people in there waiting.
Hey, Michael, your volume is a little low.
Well, I've got my professional microphone back behind the computer. Is that better?
Yeah, that makes it better. Thanks.
Okay. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request? Go ahead, Leah.
I want to give an update on my niece, Kelly. We prayed for her last week. She was in the hospital. And she's out of the hospital. She had, they put a pump in her, her heart was only active 10% of the time. So they put a pump in there somehow to pump it, to get it working so the blood would flow through it and so forth. But anyway, then they had, she had, fluid on her lungs, and she had a spot on her lungs that they thought might be cancer, but it's a thing called sarcoidosis. She's had that for like 20 years, and but they still want to go in and do a biopsy probably next week, and but she's at home and she has to go for some physical therapy about her heart and her lungs and so forth. But she said, thank you very much for your prayers. They were much needed and they helped quite a bit. And she's just giving God all the praise for it. And So thank you guys. I appreciate that.
Amen. And, thank you, Lord.
I want to pray now. Lord, I pray that this spot is not anyway in any way cancer, but I don't believe that it is, but help them not go crazy with treatments and so forth, but just heal her up fully, Lord. She's a believer, and she believes in divine healing, and she's giving you all the credit for what has occurred so far, and she's asking that you'd continue the process, Lord God. And we ask him as well that we believe that you're going to do a mighty work in her, and just heal her up, Lord God. So thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that that spot is gone. We declare it and decree it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? I just got through watching some Lion of Judah stuff. Motivational stuff. Okay. Who else wants to? Yeah, Judy, you go right ahead, young lady.
Okay. I just like to lift my oldest daughter up in prayer. The one that has the nose has to be operated on. Lord, I just lift up Angie to you. I ask you to be with her, guide and protect her. She's just not handling this very well, but she needs to come to you and let you handle it for her. Show her that she needs to do this, Lord, mm-hmm. and help her in every way and everything that is causing her problems. Take away any depression, any itching with that nose. And Lord, just be with her and comfort her and give her peace. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anyone else? Testimony, praise report, or a prayer request. Yeah, Greg.
Yeah, I have one. Well, I have a couple, but I'll just talk about this one. The house is coming through, by the way, folks. It's done.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
My instruction with that is people can not pop champagne corks, but they're now authorized to loosen them. And the band shouldn't start, but you can raise the baton, all right? I should have the keys on Tuesday.
All right. Praise the Lord.
End of everything, but it's a good thing. Anyway, no, let me give you the other one, because I have been reading Sovereign God and I've read The Real Good News. Anyway, I was my car the other day. I was in close to the city and noticed that the temperature gauge had gone way up, which is unusual, but had given me some hints, you know, in months past. Anyway, there seemed to be a fissure in it. So I let the car cool, topped it up with some water I had in the car, went and bought some, engine radiator flush and some new coolant and a bottle of stuff that's supposed to seal radiators. and I didn't have a chance to do anything there and then because I needed to be a place and have some demineralized water or, rainwater. And whenever I'd stopped and the car had cooled, I just would check it and top it up if needs be. And on, this was Tuesday, I think it was, Wednesday, I was coming up to where I am now, which is a place that does have rainwater. I think this is great. And I had to get up here because the people's place it is that we're going on a holiday and I had promised to take them to the airport. And it's out of town. It's about 50 Ks from the edge of the city on a, rural road. And I'm going, I hope the car's okay because I had to go up hills, et cetera. So anyway, I did the prayers over it. I'm thinking, okay. And I'm cruising along and the needle goes up, as I've got over some hills and stuff like that. And I'm going, okay, I'm going to stay in faith on this. And I'm thinking, this is hard because I you know, I'm relying on the car. Well, it's, you know, it's the only car I've got, and it's pretty much been the only accommodation I've had for a while. And the needle goes up. I thought, right, I'm going to stay in faith on this. And so help me, before my eyes, the needle went back down again to normal and stayed there. It was just a little thing, but it was a big thing to me. But I was thinking, boy, this faith stuff is hard until it comes through, and then it's a party.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Amen.
As awesome. They say, the waiting's the hardest part.
Yes, because the eyes can see things, you know.
Well, when you get that apartment, we'll come visit you.
Amen.
Okay. Is that a promise, Dave, straight away, or?
Lord, we'll eventually get there.
Okay.
Lord willing. Amen. I wouldn't mind going down there, but not this time of year. It's got to be cold here and hot there. That's the way I like to come.
You might not like hot here, Michael.
Why not?
Because hot's really hot.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
And cold here is not really cold for you guys, depending where you are in the States, of course. But
yeah.
Well, I'm going to go Celsius here on you too. Tracy sometimes talks to me and says, you know, in winter there, it's really bad because the car's buried in snow. And I said, look, it gets really cold here. Sometimes it's so cold that we get dew on the windows.
I like that kind of cold.
Yeah, that's been as cold as it gets.
I don't mind that at all. We don't get snow that deep here in Tennessee. We don't get that kind of that. Ooh, that's too much.
I was trying to work out that. I mean, you shovel a driveway. What do? You all you can do is pile it up. It's not going to go anywhere, is it? Till it warms up.
Yeah.
It's snow for skiing on, as far as I'm concerned.
If it gets that deep where I'm at, I'm in the wrong place. Somebody has kidnapped me and took me to the north. Come find me and bring me back home. Anyway, all right. That's awesome that you got this apartment. I'm so happy for you, Greg.
I'm so happy for me too, actually.
Yep, I can imagine. I can imagine. That's awesome. We're looking forward to visiting with you twice a week, three times a week, ever what it is.
I'll give you a tour next week.
Okay. Speaking of which, I gave Julie a virtual tour today of our mountaintop retreat. we hadn't quite finished it, but it was good, wasn't it, Julie?
It was very nice. I had, when I was there visiting last in December, I didn't get that tour up there, so I didn't know that existed. So that was the first time I actually saw it. It's pretty neat. I'm not sure. I can't really tell exactly how many people it might hold. I don't know.
It'll hold 20, whatever, 30, how 30. Many we want it to.
Of course, you're still building on it. So
it's a big mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was really pretty. It's really nice. Yeah. They've done a lot of work up there.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, by the time you get here, we'll have it pretty much finished, and we'll have that retreat. We'll have a party, a pate.
Sounds like a deal.
Okay.
Sounds like a plan.
Amen. We've already had quite a number of them up there just in the last, I say we've had probably three, maybe four of them up there just in the last little bit. Well, we intend on having quite a few more. Every time somebody comes to visit from out of state or out of country, we'll have a party. Count on it. Okay, anybody else got a testimony or a praise report? Okay, I have another question. Does anybody have anything that they want to talk about tonight? Is there a specific topic that someone wants to talk about? Yeah, Will. Uh-oh, Will beat you to it, Paula. Go ahead, Will.
Michael, no, it's fine. Let Paula go. No, don't worry. I'll ask when she's... Mine's going to be short, though, I'm sure.
She said go ahead.
Okay. Well, I googled in Revival is Here for a nice song in faith. And then the lady that sang the song said we she prayed, she sort of prayed for a fire to come down or a fire. I'm not sure the exact lyrics. I don't think she called down fire, but I just wanted to know what's healthy fire and unhealthy fire, and can we ask for the fire of the Lord, you know? Because I only thing I can think about is being on fire for the Lord. You know, someone says, you, that guy is on fire for the Lord, but that's a very good, being eager and excited and full of energy, good energy, I'd say, for the Lord. And then there's that bad fire. So I'm just wondering if we sort of call off all the Lord's fire. Is it good? Is it bad? I'm not really sure about that.
Okay. All right. Anybody want to address that? Actually, there's more than one answer. Yeah, Leah.
Yeah.
Elisha called down fire from the Lord, burned up his sacrifice, and converted the Israelites back to the Lord.
Amen.
The
sacrifice of the flesh, wasn't it?
Yeah, the prophets of Baal couldn't do that. They all got killed. So it was a good thing.
That was a good thing. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
Well, I was going to say, I know what you don't want to hear is, like, you hear somebody saying, fire, fire, bam. You don't want to know. that's that false revival baloney.
Yeah, that's that Kundalini spirit. Mm-hmm. That's I don't know if you're familiar with that, Will. We had a false revival. It's still going on in some churches. Back in 94, I believe it was, came out of Toronto Airport down to Pensacola. And they got into all kinds of garbage. I'll just put it that way. And what it caused was a lot of heartache. A lot of lives were destroyed by people that didn't believe that Christians could be demonized. That's one denomination that didn't believe that. And what happened was that demons did come in and took over. And they would pray that fire would come down, you know. And it was actually a Kundalini spirit that would invade the place. People start barking like dogs and acting silly. It's just craziness. But that's what I would say that is the bad part of it. If you don't understand, just the thing to do is to make sure that the Word of God, you're following the Word of God. When you do call fire down, you're calling fire down from heaven to sacrifice your flesh. You want that always. Lord, take his flesh from me. Andrew, go ahead, brother.
You know, when the two apostles were walking from one city to the other, and Jesus secretly came up and talked to them, they said after one of the verses there was did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us on the way? So I believe that's the fire of God, because he was talking to him and giving him a good rendition of all the stuff. He went back all the way to Moses, I think, started telling him everything about this coming of Jesus, you know. And then they didn't recognize him at first till he entered into the city with them. And then when he broke the bread, then he realized who he was, and then he disappeared. And then that's when they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he walked with us on the way? I think it was to Emmaus. I'm not sure if that was the city anymore. So I think that's the fire of God.
Okay, what was that fire doing, Andrew? What was the purpose?
Well, it was, I think it was an encouragement for them, because they heard that he may have been resurrected or may not have been resurrected, something like that anyway. I'd have to reread it, but all I really remember is the phrase there where, did not our hearts burn within us.
Amen.
In another place in the Old Testament, I can't remember, is not my word a consuming fire? So it burns up stuff that, you know, burning bridges, we talked about it before. So the word will burn those bridges you're not supposed to have. But sometimes, you know, I kind of wonder about those bridges too, because, you know, I just burned a bridge recently. And, people were hooked on the YouTube news, okay? And, I have to confess, I was hooked on YouTube, but it wasn't the news part. It was, you're not going to like this when I say it. It's fishing videos and stuff like that. So, you know, and I can handle this. I can handle it. And then you're there for hours, you know, and I'm so glad we're on this fast now, because it just went away the first day. And I actually even started on Friday as a practice day. it's so good to give back in common sense. And there is a thing I did notice about YouTube, though, because we're supposed to go on YouTube and watch some of the things from YouTube, because nobody's pressing the like button, you know. We were asked to do that, watch some of to press the like button, and then to, there's another button you press, subscribe or whatever, and see if you want to send it to anyone. Because if you press that button, because most of them, you know, I know you guys have listened to a few of them, but you probably already downloaded it from the site. If the public doesn't see, if they see like five people have watched this video, you know, they're not going to want to watch it. So, you know, I know you have spare time sometimes where you want to review some of the things, and some of them are really nice. You know, some of them are really nice on YouTube there. The way they have the panoramic picture, and they're reading the book for you. And it's just sometimes nice to have that. And then you just, the least you can say is make it a like, you know. That's about it, you know. Back to the topic about the fire.
Amen. Thanks for the advertisement. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Andrew, I have, since I put that out there, I have to admit I've forgotten to do that at times. Just to like, you know, and when I get through, because I'm wanting to get on to something else, you know. But praise God, we can be reminded. Amen. Okay, anyone else on fire, calling fire down? Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of this. And when the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound of the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues parting asunder, like as of fire, and it set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. Fire. I was going to mention, when you were talking about that, the Kundalini spirit, back in my earlier days when I was in the Baptist church and I was seeking the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I visited a few churches that were of that flavor. And it was the interesting thing about it is that this is when I began to see that the apostate mentality or the apostasy or whatever you wanted to call it, I don't remember what I even called it in those days, but that it was not only in the particular conservative brand of Christianity that I was in, or say the non-charismatic side, but it was also in the charismatic side of the Christian or Christian faith as well. And after a few times of going, you know, visiting these other churches, I realized that there is something there's a lopsidedness for a group that only believes in the baptism of the Spirit or speaking in tongues and the gifts and whatever, and because they were lopsided in that they tended to discount or place of less significance the written Word of God. And because of that, it left them in a state of thinking anything spiritual has got to be connected with, has got to be godly or whatever. And they, for whatever reason, many of the people, I won't say all, obviously, but many of the people that I was associated with at that time tended to be that way. Anything that was spiritual was godly, and it seemed to leave them in kind of a lacking or a deficiency there. And obviously God wants the balance believing, trusting in what he said in his word. That written word was written for a reason, that it will not change, and all those that try to change it are destroyed in some form by that word. And all those, I'm thinking of that scripture, but all those that are willing to be broken by that word will cultivate that spirit of humility and humbleness that will allow them to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But anyway, I just thought it was kind of an interesting connection there, that the people that you're referring to with that received the Kundalini spirit, I'm sure there was many things in their foundational thinking that was a little bit lacking. But so. Praise the Lord. Anyway, that was the fire I was thinking about.
Absolutely. That thing that you're talking about, what they lacked was the understanding that demons can inhabit Christians. That's what they lacked. Their theology was that demons cannot inhabit Christians. And that's where the error came. course, demons took over. Amen. Thank you. Julie.
A couple of things that were coming to my mind about calling fire down from heaven was is judgment. In one of the Gospels, I can't remember which one, but John spoke and said to the Lord about these people that were doing the same kind of works that they were, but they were not following him. It's like, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven? You know? So I think it's, you know, it's, it can be a judgment, plus the two witnesses in Revelations are going to be doing that. But then the other thing that was coming to my mind is the Holy Spirit that we are baptized with is the fire that burns up the wood, hay, and stubble of our flesh. And it's just being able to go through the fiery trials that we go through. So asking God for his Holy Spirit and to burn up this stuff of our flesh, of the old nature and the things we inherited. That's very permissible, but careful what you ask for, because you will get that. You will go through those fiery trials, and you will go through stuff, and that's always good. So that's kind of thing I was thinking of. And in the Old Testament, what came to my mind was the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace, which is, you know, the same thing. They didn't bow down. They didn't submit to, you know, what the world wants. And that's part of what going through your baptism with the Holy Spirit is, you know, following after Christ, you suffer a lot of persecutions from worldly people and worldly Christians, and staying in the fire and not denying the Lord as you go through them. It burns up the old nature, and it's very humbling, and it's very crucifying to the flesh. And you also get to experience the presence of the Lord in a way you've not ever felt before, too, when you stay in there. That's the fourth person in the furnace with you.
Amen.
To share.
When those three Hebrews were in that furnace, what burned off of them? Their bondages. Yeah. They got loosed. Praise the Lord forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Amen. All right, Will.
I started as a charismatic, so I'm very familiar with fire, fire, fire. Fire, you know, and it was more a getting high. It's really a getting high with not really getting anything back. And maybe being worse off after the session, because you don't know who entered you. And it was, yeah. And I felt the earlier spirituality as being a lot of getting high without any holiness. But what I wanted to ask, if possible, maybe we should listen to the song. It will be a nice song to listen to. Do appreciate about it is that she is the chorus is revival is here, revival will stay. And I think she's maybe commenting on the Holy Spirit like a fire. Read that part of scripture when they received the Holy Spirit, and there was a flame or a fire connotation, but maybe a misunderstanding on that fire. You know, I think the song will be a good song to listen to, and then you guys can decide if she's calling down a good fire or not.
If she's talking about the fire of revival, is that what she's saying?
I'm not sure. You know what? I wish I prepared when I got the opportunity. If I knew, I would have wrote down the lyrics, but now I'm a bit underprepared. But I think listening to the song might be a good idea. Because you know, like whatever. It's Awaken. It's Awaken Wells.
Unwakened. Wait a minute. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the band is Awake and Wells, and the song is called Revival is Here.
Revival is here. Hmm. And by whoever you said. Okay, I'll look it up while we're talking here. All right, anybody else? Yeah. You got anything else, Will?
Yeah, I just wanted, what I wanted to say is what makes this song so powerful is because whatever you pray and ask for, believe that you received it. And thanking the Lord for the revival that is already here is nice. It's a good faith songs. You know, I could only find two proper songs, a ton of songs asking for revival, but only two thanking the Lord for revival that's here. That's what I really appreciate. But then she started the fire thing. The song overall is good, but then I thought the fire topic, I really need to understand that fire now. And because being fired up for the Lord is not bad. You know, if you're motivated, you're fired up, you're energetic, you've got the supernatural energy, and people tend to refer to it as being fired. You're on fire for the Lord. You know, that's a good, I think Jenny, I spoke to Jenny about it because I played her the song one morning, and that's her, that was her, her sort of statement on what's a good fire. But yeah, I'll put the lyrics of this. I'll put the lyrics of the title of the song in the chat room.
Well, I'm gonna go look at it here. Look for it here in a minute. We'll just share it on the screen and let everybody listen to it, and then we'll make a comment about it. How's that?
Yeah, that will be good. I'll appreciate that.
Okay. Anybody else? Go, David.
I was thinking, I find it interesting that we have the former rain, but then when we've seen the former rain, that we saw the baptism of the Holy Spirit come down on the saints in the book of Acts in the beginning, they had tongues of fire in their head. So we have rain and we have fire. That's interesting how they work together. And so we have a latter rain day coming, latter day rain coming. First it'll come on the man child, then the bride. And then later, and the witnesses, and later I'll come out of the rest of the church. But I wonder if that's going to associate in any way with fire also. It's just an interesting thought.
Hey, Will, I have a question. I found Revival is Here by the Messengers of Peace. Is that it?
It's Awake and Wells, but the Messengers of Peace, that's also the other one. It's got like just the lyrics on the, there's a woman on the image of the song. Awake and Wells.
Awake and Wells? Like the country well?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Revival.
Okay. Somebody else talk while I get that.
Michael, it's Awaken Wells, Wells, featuring Caroline Aikens. That's what I just found.
Okay. Aha! Okay, y'all ready? I'm gonna share the screen and the sound.
We've made a place for you to live. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Yeah.
Oh, I got to unmute. I liked it. Anybody else not like it? Anybody not like it? Let me see your hand. Don't raise your hand. That was a good song. I thought that was a good song. Did anybody not think it was not a good song? Yeah, Judy.
I liked it too. I was listening to see if there's anything there that was... Yeah. Eastern spirit kind of thing, but it's not. I thought it was really good. I really liked it. Thanks for sharing that, Will.
Yeah, that was a good one, Will. Yeah, Paula.
She beat you, Will.
Go ahead, Paula.
I've once read someone said usually in songs, if everything is about me, and, you know, I, and what I feel and this and that, it tends to be not so kosher. But whenever it's about the Lord, you know, glorifying him, then, you know, it's just a different way. And this song was all about him, and it was his glory, and it was word-based. So for me, it was good as well, yeah.
Amen. That's a good song. Will, you did good, bud. Go ahead, Will.
thank you, Michael. I'm glad. You made me laugh now. That was now funny. But I just need to get over that. I'll get to my point. A bit of a laugh. What I just wanted to say, that song, I'm glad everyone liked it, and I'm glad she wrote a healthy song for her sake, so praise the Lord. I just wanted to say that the Lord, I think it was after the fellowship. And then I went, I think it was with David and the local. I went looking for songs that said revival is here. And until 12 o'clock that afternoon, just repetitively listening and singing that song. And when the Lord takes you there and you've already received mode with his Holy Spirit, it is just such, and it became such a year for them now. It's going to happen today. It's a year. It has just been a mind-blowing experience. The song has been very helpful.
There it goes. That's okay. Lord, we just thank you for bringing Will back. what told you, devil, not to interfere. And in the name of Jesus right now, I command you to let Will back on. Matter of fact, I bind you up and cast you off of the communications right now in Jesus' name. All right, Will, go right ahead, brother.
What was the last thing that I said?
You said hello. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm like, oh, Sam, he doesn't get a gun.
No, you were talking about the song, and it was a lot of, actually, there's a lot of static and stuff in there, but we more or less understood what you were saying.
Oh, no, then that's good. Yeah, it's just believing you received. It's such a different approach to faith, and it's, and it must be, you have to get there by the power of the Spirit. And it's been, music has been very helpful. But I'm glad for her. Bless Caroline, I think is her name. Bless you, Caroline, and may the Lord bless you and your band for writing such a good song.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, the song that Azusa Street, one of the songs that they sang all the time during their Azusa Street revival meetings was The Comforter Has Come. And that would bring in the... that would bring in the rain, folks. It was an awesome song. We sing it here now. We, when we found out about it, Don had put it in the songbook, so we sing that quite often now. Do what, Dave?
You brought that up, Azusa Street. Wasn't the fire department called to that place many times because they thought the building was on fire?
Yeah. People thought the building was on fire. It's on the fire of God all over the top of it. And it was spiritual fire, though, but it was physical. I mean, you could see it, but it wasn't burning up. Really. It's like the burning bush that Moses saw, you know. And it'd be fire. Numerous times people called the fire department. They'd get over there and nothing was burning except the people. Praise God. Yeah, awesome.
But that was considered a healthy fire anointing, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, I still need to get discernment on that.
Oh, man. Well, don't you wish we could see that fire and experience that time? Guess what? We fan to. We're fixing to experience that anointing in a mighty way, even more so than Azusa Street. My gracious sakes alive. You know why? Because when the anointing comes, y'all, when the anointing comes, every feebleness that you have is gone. My. Thank you, Jesus. Won't be no lack. There'll be all kinds of good things happen. Yeah, pal.
That brings me to what I was actually going to ask for prayer for. And the Lord has had me for the last couple weeks on the second time, the thought, the second time. And the various parallels or patterns in the scripture related to the second time. And I'm asking for prayer from everybody that the Lord would help me to finalize what he is showing me about that. I think the scriptures that he has kind of thrown in, or the patterns or the thoughts that he had thrown in my mind, were the, for instance, the Jews being a pattern of the second time there is that they were saved and delivered out of bondage out of Egypt. They passed through the Red Sea and came up on the other side, they were baptized in water and baptized in the Spirit. And then they wandered in the desert for 40 years, and that generation died out. And then the Lord, the second time, brought the Jews into the promised land, much like the same pattern of crossing the Red Sea, except they crossed the Jordan, and the river was stopped and split, and they walked across on dry land. And as I was asking the Lord to give me some verses about that, and I started searching the second time, and one of them that came up, which I thought was interesting, where he took me to Joshua, and in verse 5, and it was when they had already crossed over the Jordan, I believe, and then the Lord commanded Joshua to circumcise the children of Israel, and he said, at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee knives of flint and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And I was, it's a second time pattern. The first time, and then a scripture that also hit me was in Hebrews 9:28, says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And so it's like the Lord is planting, I guess, a seed and a thought there. And I would just like prayer, I'm asking the Lord to give me wisdom and understanding to perceive what that second time pattern, how it applies to us as individuals, us as a people of God, and a people in this last time. Even a greater second time version was 2,000 years ago, Christ initiated the new covenant and gave that commandment to men to deliver, to go ye into all the world. And mankind, shall we say, he delivered that gospel into man's hands, and that gospel in man's hands deteriorated and eroded until the Lord took his people through the dark ages and started to bring them back out. And in this later last days, he will not only, he will come the second time to a prepared people. He will come a second time, not bearing sin, but bearing judgment, or bearing the more of a battle garment than the first time, with the lamb, as the lamb. So there's a first time and a second time. There's a former reign and there's a latter reign. There's a second time pattern that the Lord has put into my heart. And I just, Father, I just ask you to open up my eyes, open up our eyes to the pattern that you've given us through the scripture, Lord. Give us grace to pursue and understand your word in all aspects and all the applications of your word into our lives, Lord, and especially for the second time pattern that you've laid on my heart. I just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for wisdom and revelations in your word for Pat, in Jesus' name, for everybody. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Claire, you having a spot or tea, are you?
I am having a decaf. I can't drink coffee. I drink it only because it's warm. I don't really have a weakness for it or anything, but I drink it because it's warm. So my kids are busy playing and drawing. Hey. So they'll come in and you'll see them, but I'm here.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Nora. Okay. Anybody else? I had something I was going to say, but it escaped me right now. Lord, I thank you for capturing it back and bringing it back to me, because it was profound. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Leah.
I just wanted to remind Pat of Ecclesiastes 1:9 mm-hmm. with your second times. There's nothing new under the sun.
Amen. You know, I did a brief study one time, not too long ago, on the different types of revivals that now through history. And there's all different types of revivals. The one in the New Hebrides, that was a revival. Let's see, the New Hebrides, that was one of repentance, a repentance type revival where people were just walking down the road and they hit their knees and God would just put the glory of God on them and they'd be repenting, you know, and they did that for miles around. And other times there was evangelistic revivals types. What's the guy's name in New York? Escapes me right now. But there's all different kinds of revival. Every one of them was good. Amen. I love to read about those old revivals. Yeah, Will. You must unmute yourself, Will.
Oh, sorry. That's the first time that happened to me. Am I getting old?
No, I don't think so.
Because just last week I was talking to my brother-in-law and I forgot to tell him, I told him the same story a month ago. And I was thinking, am I getting old? And I do this today. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
what I wanted to say,
Will, you're just falling apart, brother. I tell you.
I will not lose heart when my fleshly man is decaying.
Okay.
What I understand is the Holy Spirit has been, I think, quite a few times been compared to fire. If I look at what was that prophet Jeremiah that said, it burns in me like a fire? So throughout the Bible, it's been compared to fire a few times, which I think from when they start that fire calling and all those things in some churches, it seems quite kosher. It seems kosher because it's been compared to a fire so many times. And I think that's what fools people. If I today pray, Lord, fill me with a fire, the same fire I'm asking for a fire that Jeremiah had in his heart, would that be, you know, like, also I'm asking for a fire anointing, sort of, is that good?
Well, of course, if you're looking for the fire of God to kill the flesh and the fire of God to be more evident in your life, that's what has to happen, is the flesh has to die, of course. And then Jesus comes alive in you. Yeah, we all want that. Amen.
So, if I pray, like we ask for the fire of your Holy Spirit, that would be, you know, that asking for the Lord's fire and he will come down and burn the flesh. But then there's that different other fire that's more the energy from the inside that is needed to go through the burning.
The overcoming power.
The power of the Lord, can that be called a different type of a fire? Because you've got the one that will burn the flesh, that's the fire that will burn up the wood, the and the stubble, but then there's also the energy of the Lord, the motivation, that type of thing that is also can be related to a fire, but if you call that the fire of the Lord, is that...
Just call it what it is, just the power of the Lord.
Yeah, you so that like, shouldn't be...
Just call it that's power. Overcoming power is what you want. You want that overcoming power, don't you? I do too.
Yeah. But I can't call that fire, eh?
Well, you can call it anything you want to as long as your heart's as right. Long if your heart's not right, if you, you know, kundalini spirits all around you, man, I'm just saying. You know what?
So if I've got a... Yeah. So if I've got a healthy understanding for the Lord and my heart wants that hope, that holiness, then I can call fire all I want. I'll get the good fire. But if I'm there for spirit, and if I'm...
Just like Julie says right there, it is all meant to purify and transform you into Jesus.
Okay.
So all right, I'm just calling it what it is.
All right. The power. Yeah, that's the thing, eh? Because I'll listen to the recording again. I think there's so much stuff here. Sorry for being. No, okay. All right.
I think Greg is talking. I don't know who he's talking to. Greg, we can't hear you. Is this a recording? Can y'all hear him? Hey, Greg, we can't hear you.
He must be having a separate conversation.
You think?
He's excluding us at the moment.
Well, I don't see a mute or unmute button. Greg, you're not talking to people on this fellowship. I'm just wanting to let you know. I can't hear your words you're saying. You're having a great conversation with somebody. Praise the Lord. I'm sure he's really expounding on something. We probably should be listening. Oh, you reckon? I don't know. Okay, who's up? Who would like to talk? We can hear.
Did we find out what Paula wanted?
Oh, what do you want, Paula?
Thank you, Leon.
I'm sorry. I forgot.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay.
No, it's just beautiful because what I wanted to ask you if we can discuss it is exactly what we've been talking now and what William has been saying. For the past 2 weeks about the Lord, while it's been a theme for me and I think for everyone, every Christian on this walk, but the whole law versus grace theme. And these last couple of days I've been getting messages from all over. You know, when I open the Bible, when I open a devotional, when I get an email, it would be messages about cleansing ourselves, you know, like the one in Corinthians, having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves. And the whole message that we have this power to be able to do this, you know, and we have a responsibility to be God's co-workers in cleaning ourselves up, and the bride cleansing herself, you know, that type of thing. And then at the same time, I will get messages and scripture that, you know, we can't do it ourselves and that we need him. So I've been asking the Lord to just help me with that topic, with the whole thing from, you know, what do we do and when does it become a checklist that if I do X, Y, and Z, then I'm okay and I feel all right with the Lord. And when is it really that transforming, you know, that nature that's being changed? And just some of the scriptures that he's given me, interesting for me was the one in 2 Kings 5 about Naaman, where the prophet said he must go and wash 7 times in the Jordan, you know. And at first he was very offended because it was such an easy thing that was asked of him. And his servant also said, you know, if he asked you to do some great thing, you would have done it gladly. But now it's a small thing, so maybe just go and do it. And for me, that's the whole thing, is that the flesh is, it's offended with Christ and it's offended with the simplicity of the gospel. So that was just something. And I thought, you know, there's so much more to the whole seven times washing. But that was just one of the scriptures. He then took me, and the other one was in Nehemiah, when they rebuilt the wall. It was just interesting for me, Nehemiah 8, verse 9, and then the other verse is 12. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. But then the Lord said, you know, you mustn't weep. It's a holy day. You must be glad. You must be joyous, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And then in verse 12, it said, and to make great mirth. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And it's like the Lord showed me that we can hear the words of the law. And when we hear that, so many times we feel condemned and we'll weep. You know, it's this terrible spotlight on our sins. But when he quickens it in us, and we actually understand, it's with the understanding, then we can have joy in there. And then he took me to Galatians 3. And Galatians 3 for me was the cherry on the cake, because I just realized then, you know, and I know it's so obvious, but we cannot do this walk without the Holy Spirit. And if you look at Galatians 3 verse 14, and I want to ask you if this is right, but that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And I almost, you know, when I read that, it was as though the Lord asked me, you know, what is the purpose of everything? Why did Jesus come? Why was he crucified? And it is so that God the Father can dwell in us. And he can't dwell in an unholy spirit. You know, that's the whole reason why Jesus came and why the exchange has been made. I will dwell in them and walk. You know, that is the whole purpose. And so I'm just, yeah, the Lord has me on this path now of the Holy Spirit. And he is the promise. And it's of him and through him and unto him. You know, everything goes back to Father. And so I was just thinking if we can discuss that a bit. I'm asking him now, you know, how do we walk in the Spirit? Because he says in Galatians 5, verse 16, walk by the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's only by walking in the Spirit that we will be able to overcome all those things that might still be, you know, a bother to us in our lives.
Okay. There it is. She opened it up. What is it to walk in the Spirit? Walk by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. To talk like the Spirit. It looks like Sue and Judy's got the answer. They're in there. Look like you're really got it. Don't you, Sue and Judy, y'all got the answer?
Okay, Sue's going to say.
That's funny. we were just talking about that, you know. I was just thinking about being on fire for God, you know. When you're filled in the Spirit, when you're walking in the Spirit, you just cannot. You're on fire inside. You just want to speak what's in there. It's like even with Jeremiah, you know, he said, I can't, in Jeremiah 20, I was just looking at a couple scriptures and how it's burning in you. When you're on fire, when it's like, even when I'm praising and worshiping the Lord, when we come together, and sometimes I cannot not cry out to the Lord and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, because I'm on fire, you know, and it's burning in me. It needs to come out. And that's the same thing, I think, with when we walk in the Spirit, it needs to come out because we're on fire. We're supposed to be on fire for the Lord. But it's only through the Spirit that we can do that. Amen.
Okay. That's good, yeah. Sometimes you just can't hold it in, can you, Sue? Amen. Got fire in my bone. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
Well, when what we say or do lines up with the Word, because Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Spirit. Just saying.
That's it?
There's a lot. There's a lot.
I know.
That's my 2 cents.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Dave.
I'm thinking you put a process out there already, Paul. If you see it, you had 2 Kings 5 with Naaman, and Naaman got washed 7 times before he got received his cleansing of the leprosy, which also represents sin. So we're going through a repentance, right? So that was a repentance happens. He got cleansed from his sin. And then you went to Nehemiah where they were studying the Word of God. And they get the revelation of the Lord, and they're weeping because they're overwhelmed, and they're feeling this, like this separation from the Word all this time. And the Lord has brought them close again, and they're kind of overwhelmed, that whole feeling. And then Nehemiah is saying, no, you know, be happy about this, you know, rejoice, you know, you get filled full of Word, and he's transforming, he's renewing you, you're seeing this Word may do its joyful work. Praise the Lord. You know, we're going to have this as a glorious day. So we're now, after the repentance, you've got the Word coming in and transforming your life. Then you go into Galatians and you're working with, here are the Gentiles, and they're seeing, well, you're now receiving the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith, which is how all this works. You have to have faith. You walk by faith. The walk by faith in the Spirit of the Lord, that's basically what you're going to be doing from this point forward anyways. You can just be walking and using your faith to be led by God in everything you do. And strangely enough, it happens. That's what he's going to do. We don't have to try to figure out how to make it work. We just allow him to make it work by faith. And that's how our life works out. As long as we're staying continually in the Word, we're repenting, we're coming into the image of the Lord, we're seeing that transformation work of the Word in our life, and we're walking by faith and not trying to work by our own sight, just believing the Lord's going to fulfill his promise in us, then we're doing that. We're fulfilling that walk. But we have to stay on that path. We have to stay on the path of being cleansed, continue to be cleansed like Nehemiah. We have to continue to stay in the Word like they were in being cleansed in Kings, staying in Word like we see in Nehemiah, and letting our heart be transformed, renewed, and be happy when we see it. And it might bring a little mourning and joy, a little mourning in the evening. It'll bring joy in the morning. We know that. And then we're just going to sit there and walk by faith, where it says, be filled with the Spirit through faith, as we got in Galatians talks about. So you have a really good scenario there, how this all works. Just thought I wanted to bring that out.
Amen. That's good. One thing, just remember this. If you want to be led by the Spirit, you have to be in the Spirit, right? So if you have to be in the Spirit, what's the logical thing to do? Pray in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, you're in the Spirit because you're allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through you. That's when you're closest. That's when you hear God too. Yeah, Judy.
I would just add to that you need to be reading the Word because the Holy Spirit's always going to speak to you in agreement with the Word of God. And that's how you're going to know if it's the voice of the Lord or not, is if it's agreeing with your Word or if it's agreeing with your flesh, because your flesh is always going to justify something that you want to hear anyway. So you know when it's the Lord, and if you're not sure if it's your flesh or not, that's when you just got to stop and not do it what you think you're being led to do until you confirm that was God, or no, that was just Julie. She wanted that, or she wanted to do that, or she wanted to go there, or do this, or whatever. And making sure you're just hearing the voice of the Lord. And God knows your heart. If you really are thinking that was the Lord, so that's why you reacted or did what you did, because you really thought that was the voice of the Lord or whatever. He knows that. So he'll bring correction if it was your flesh. There's also I think it's called walking by the Spirit or something like that on the UBN website too, and that's a real good.
Yeah, I saw that today.
Did you? Yeah. So that's another good refresher.
Okay, anyone else?
What did you say about walking by the Spirit? Where did you find that? Where was it?
It's on the site. It's on page 5,330. I don't know where it is, but it's
in. Yeah, it's in one of those older teachings. I think it's under the miscellaneous. I'll tell you
where I saw it, Judy. I saw it on the YouTube channel. That's where I saw it. I was on the YouTube channel hitting likes, you know.
Amen. Good job, Michael. So that one's posted. That's good.
Yeah, it is. It's posted. It is posted. Praise the Lord. A lot of good ones are posted. 300 and something of them's posted. That's 300 and something good ones.
Praise Amen. The Lord. They're doing an excellent job. God bless them and the works Amen. Of their hands to get all those teachings up there. Thank you, Lord.
We could use a little help, Julie. I'm just saying.
I don't think that's my area of expertise, but I'm teachable, but I'm trainable.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, anybody else?
They'll train you when you get here.
Yeah, yeah. We have a training station. It's a flogging iron, you know.
It takes a couple years to get through it, but.
Oh, my gosh. I just left that. Thank you very much. That programming no. and teaching and training.
Yeah, no, this is a whole lot better because you got spirit-filled people doing it.
Remember, Julie, it's a corporate body.
Julie, yeah. This would be the second time.
It's a whole lot better. Anybody else? Andrew, you want to give us your thoughts? I don't have, yeah, I'm just calling on you.
Well, you know, I'm just looking at what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where he came to the people with not just words of wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power. When he spoke to them of their, of course, their salvations, of course, and that's how anyone got saved. Anyway, you know, this is how you heard it through the Spirit. So you know, that was your example. That's where you got started. That's where the Spirit of grace happened to you. You know, sometimes there's a lot of hyphenated words in the Bible where it says the Spirit of grace. Even in this chapter here, you know, it's talking about the contrary spirit. You know, there's a spirit of man here in verse 11 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, spirit of man. And the whole verse is talking about the spirit of man, the spirit of the world, and the spirit of God. So for who among men knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man in him? And you know the number of man, so there's a spirit of man there. And even so, the things of God none knoweth save the spirit of God. So that's a different spirit, contrary to the first one. But we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in words taught by man's wisdom. So that's a spirit of man's wisdom. It touches on that in the beginning here, but in spirit-taught words, interpreted spiritual things to spiritual men. So, you know, and it is true that sometimes, you know, you can tell the gospel to people, but it's the cross is foolishness to them, as it says later on, but and a stumbling block to a Jew, and but for us it's God's salvation. So you know, you need to be saved in a lot of things as you go on. You need to be saved basically all the time for everything. If you consider the God's sovereignty, you know, and the seriousness of him having to do what he had to do with Jesus. We know about God's sovereignty. We have a whole book on it. But he had to actually let that happen to him. He had to call the shots for his crucifixion. There's nothing done without God's sovereignty happening. So it makes you cut to the heart that he had to do that. Every single blow, every single thing he did, God had to say whether it could happen or not. So that there's a seriousness to that there. When you examine it, that God is spirit and he had to speak these things for his son to go through this. And we should not ignore this, and we should have a great reverence. And of course, Jesus agreed with it too. And he cleaved to his cross. And he hugged his cross because he knew he was getting brothers and sisters out of it later. And that's that can bring fear on anyone. It gets me shaken. So, you know, all the lights you have in your lamp that's in your temple. You know, there's seven lamps there. There's seven lights. Well, they're all spirits too. You know, it speaks of the seven spirits in the first chapter, I think, in Revelation. So, you know, you just didn't receive something because it's just a word, you know. I got this guy at work. He just thinks it's another book. That's all, you know, and he won't get excited about anything when I tell him, you know, and it's just so darn sad, you know, and you gotta just, I don't know how to even contend with something like that. Anyway, you pray for them and you want them to receive, but it's just not happening. So, you know, we got to leave them there for God to deal with it all. Because there's no sense in beating a person who can't hear anything in the spirit. So that's kind of an example of a different spirit. So he can't hear you in the spirit. So, but it's just a different way of looking at it, you know, and to try and find things that God has to speak to you, just in your studies, like he spoke to me that about sovereignty, what he had to do with Jesus. And I didn't really ever hear anyone talk about it that way, you know. Like you get to watch the movies there, The Passion of Christ. I didn't see the movie, but he is sovereign, and he had to do that all. He had to say, okay. Now, I don't know if he turned his back if he wasn't watching, but he knows everything. He has to have watched that. And it's kind of scary. I hope it helps people, anyway, to hear something like that.
Amen. Okay, Sue.
I was just thinking about how the word is like it's like a burning fire in us. When we see the word, when we get that revelation, it just quickens us. It brings life to us. It just opens us up, and we want more, you know. And it just makes me think of you know, the word is alive, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, but it's like a flaming sword. It just gets into us and burning it into us. I think, you know, when we get that revelation, it's like, wow, you know, it just enhances our walk with the Lord when we get the truth in us. But I think that's how he gets rid of the, you know, he burns the dross out of us, but he also burns his word in us, I think, you know. I don't know if that's the case, but anyway, amen.
Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Oh, go ahead, Malcolm.
You are unmuted. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I was thinking about this fire thing, and I've been listening to Isaiah repeatedly recently. Isaiah 50. Actually, before I talk about the fire part that's in Isaiah 50, I wanted to mention that it's right above the section in starting at verse 10. It says, you know, verses 7 through 9, it sounds just like Romans 8. I mean, when you read Paul's writings, there's so much, I mean, he's almost always quoting from the Old Testament when he's writing. It's just amazing. Therefore, I will not be confounded. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint. And then down to verse 8, he is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? And then verse 9, who is he that shall condemn me? Which is, I mean, Paul's just reciting a lot of that. Anyway, the point I wanted to get to was in verse 10, and especially 11. It says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the Lord of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. This is the King James Version. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. I don't understand that. I mean, I've read it and listened to it many times. Anybody have some ideas on verse 11 there where it says, talking about kindling a fire, walking in your the light of your fire and the sparks that you've kindled. It doesn't sound good.
Mm-hmm.
I'll share my two cents on that. I think, Malcolm, it means it's like it's painful on your flesh. It's talk about the flesh.
Yeah, the last part of it says, "This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow."
Mine says, "You shall lie down in torment." It's still tormenting. It's
doesn't sound
painful
good to me.
To the flesh. No, it doesn't. I think it's for the flesh, because the spirit man ain't gonna suffer in that. It's our flesh that suffers. Now, that's my thought.
Oh.
Amen. Okay, we need to pray. We need to pray for Sandy. They took her back up to the hospital. And Jeff. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against these attacks on Sandy. I command those lungs to be full of air. I command the body to be healed in the name of Jesus. I break the power of any witchcraft curses spoken against her. Send them right back where they came from in the name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, that you multiply them 10 times over. And I thank you for it, Father, that they'll learn not to do this. And Father, we ask and we pray, fear off of both of them, Sandy and Jeff, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for placing complete, great, and bold faith in both of them to believe what your word says. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that Sandy is healed, delivered, and set free by the power and the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Yeah, Judy. Oh, you just raising your hands to Jesus? Okay. That's good. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Yeah, Greg.
Look, sorry, I had to turn the audio off when I was on that call with April, but for any prayers, I'm just going to say amen to that. I did pray with her. And yes, Leon, I'm leaning towards the no pacemaker, heart fixed up option. I was just sort of working out where her heart was when I was praying. I prayed with her.
Amen. Did you want to pray?
Absolutely. Lord, Well, Lord, it's never an accident that this news comes, and I didn't expect or think she had problems with her heart. And but Lord, I thank you for informing me. First of all, Lord, and two, Lord, I am so grateful I can bring this to this fellowship. Lord, I don't want there to be a pacemaker inserted. I want there to be a testimony of healing and restoration and astoundment of what you do. So Lord, I speak to whatever is afflicting her. I know your source, and I know it's not from my Lord. And he has given us authority, and I have previously asked his permission to use that, and I'm coming this again, that all of you would back off, be pulled away, and I mean by that Lord sent angels to lasso these things or harpoon these things and pull them all back. And that, Lord, that you would extend your hand, or even just the hem of your garment, to touch April and cause that heart to beat with the signature rhythm that you gave it, you encoded in her DNA when she was formed. That as she draws that ruach, that breath into her mouth, that her heart would pump that life that is in the blood through her body, that capital L life, that everything would function as it should. And Lord, I also step into the authority that you have given us and remit any sin that the enemy may be taking as license here. I just declare that she and that her Lord became, took the curses for her. So yes, Lord, my request here is that there would be no need for an artificial device to be implanted, and that her heart would be whole and well, and the rest of her as well. So that you would continue the restoration that I saw begun last year in circumstances and in health. I'll leave it at that. Amen.
Lord, we hook our faith up with Greg and Tracy. No, not Tracy. Kelly. And we thank you, Father, that she is healed. That she is, you've already done it, and it's going to be to your glory, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for healing her. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We're looking for the glorious testimony. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Okay. Anyone else? How many of you want revival to start tonight? Yeah, I'm seeing all kinds of hands here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, me too. I am too. Boy, it would be awesome, wouldn't it? Good gracious. Just a fire shoot out the house. Glory to God. Off the top of this mountain, every fire department within 50 to 100 miles would be showing up down at the street. We'd have an evangelism meeting, and all of them would come to Jesus. Praise God forevermore. That'd be awesome. Oh, my wildest imaginations. It's already here. Yeah, I believe it. Well, I do. I believe it. You know something that, well, let me get Rebecca. Go ahead, Rebecca or Katie.
It's actually Dominic. I'm with Katie and Rebecca again. But I just wanted to share some things. I'm still going strong. Thank the Lord, obviously. I haven't willfully sinned in 4 weeks. Well, it'll be 4 weeks on Saturday. So I just wanted to quickly let you guys know that. And I've been talking to a lot of people, too. I work at a gas station. And this one lady came in, and she was addicted to cigarettes. And she said, oh, man, I don't even know why I'm buying the pack because, I just tried to quit, and it didn't work. And then I mentioned how it was already finished and everything was finished at the cross. And she was like, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, the only way that I was able to ever stop any of the addictions that I had was through Jesus. He was the only way that I could stop. And then I mentioned I mentioned to her that. And then she said, oh, okay. And later on, she ended up coming back in and telling me that she quit smoking because of what I told her. Well, obviously, Christ did that. I had no power to help her, but I did, I did say that just because I felt like I needed to. And I was able to tell my dad that too, who's also addicted to smoking cigarettes. And he said, that's really good. He doesn't see a problem with him smoking yet. But he did say that's very good. My dad does believe in God, but he has a very watered down version of faith. He used to believe in the Lord very strongly, but he changed a lot of that. And he listens to his wife. He doesn't put his foot down. Like his wife doesn't want me coming over and stuff like that. And he hasn't seen his kids because of stuff like that, So if you guys can just keep him in his prayers and everything, or in your prayers and everything, that'd be awesome. But I just felt like I had to share that I was still going strong.
Hey, Dominic, what's your dad's name?
My dad's name is Clinton Lewis. People just call him Fritz, but
people call him what?
Fritz, F-R-I-T-Z.
Okay. I'm going to leave that alone. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we lift up Fritz right now to you. In the name of Jesus, we break the power of Satan off of him. And Father, we thank you that you're going to we ask, Lord, that you open up his eyes and his ears of understanding about what the Word of God says. And we break the power of addiction off of him in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you the next time he smokes a cigarette, it's going to make him ill. And he's going to want to quit in Jesus' name. And Father, we just praise you and we glorify you for bringing Fritz mightily into the kingdom. And Dominic's going to see a new dad that takes authority in his household and brings everybody to Jesus. And Father, we just praise you and we glorify you for the work that you're doing right now. We know your angels are there right now. In Jesus' name, we break the power of Jezebel in that household right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that this household is coming into you, into your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody believe that with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Amen. Yes, I believe it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, brother. Believe it. It's happening. Yeah, Will.
Very good testimony.
Huh?
Sorry, did you ask me something? I wasn't sure.
No, I was. Will had his hand up, and I told him to go ahead.
No, I see that Dominique and them, they're on a call-in, so I'm not sure if they can get anything in the chat. I just wanted to say no. Dominique, we're glad to hear you're good. We've been wondering how you were, so I'm glad he said something tonight.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Okay, I was trying to read the chat and listen to you. It ain't working. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? You know what breaks the power of sin? Yes, it's the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. When you get in the Spirit, and you know something comes up here before it gets down to your heart or your spirit, start praying in tongues. Start reading the Word of God. Start getting in the Spirit of God. And all that stuff. That's how you overcome. That's the way I overcome. Yeah, Greg, go ahead. You had your hand up. I don't
know. I know. I just was looking for the button to unmute. That's all. Okay. Found it. It's over here. look, this might not be the appropriate moment, so pick it another time if you want. That's fine. I was just... I picked up a book I haven't picked up for a little while. No, it's not the Bible. It's this one here. And was reading it yesterday and, you know, picking up where I'd left off. And there was just a page and a bit that it grabbed me at the time. And I was going to ask if I could read it out. It's from the book, Define, which was the companion book that the Kendrick brothers wrote to the movie Overcomer that they made. So it's from the start of chapter...
Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay. Start of chapter 4, which is titled, You Are Created With a Purpose, Uniquely Designed. And because of verse at the start of it, it says, I will give thanks to you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works and my soul... knows it very well. It's Psalm 139:14. Not only did God personally create you, he made you amazingly unique, of the intercontinental billions of people breathing right now, no known duplicates exist or have ever existed. That's mind-blowing if you think about it. You are a never-before-seen, one-of-a-kind original masterpiece. Your personalized fingers, for instance, are leaving your signature prints on this book or whatever you're touching right now. Your beautifully detailed iris patterns have been entrusted to you alone. The design of your right eye reading this sentence is even different from your left. Your teeth are also a bit unique to you. Your taste buds sweetly distinct. Your gait walks alone and your voice sings a solo tone. Your heart beats a signature rhythm and your face is a special recognition. Even identical twins are distinct in the details. And here's another thing maybe I didn't know for a while. It's not in the book, but even your ears, everyone's ears are unique in design. Coiled within your cells are billions of miles of DNA programmed and coded you. Every biometric marker is like a written signature, focusing the spotlight of the universe back on how special you really are. All of God's intention, prerogative, and completely unlimited ability. Sorry, all of this is by God's intention, prerogative, and completely unlimited ability. He does it because he can. He does it because, well, why wouldn't he? Expecting God to make two people exactly the same would be like asking Mozart to rewrite the same symphony, line for line, note for note. Why would he do that? That work has already been done. Only something refreshingly new will do. Your distinct design, your wonderful uniqueness, your irreplaceability makes you incredibly valuable, a walking miracle. Think about it. On the dawn of your conception, you beat the odds among 300 million rivals racing to become you, and you won. Then billions of miracles at the cellular level successfully occurred over months, enabling you to develop and stay alive. In your mother's womb, God was interweaving and interconnecting a wide variety of complex systems so that it could not only function properly and communicate to your brain quickly, but ultimately unite into the tapestry of your life. That's why human conception and birth has been called life's greatest miracle. Then, for you to take your first breath, your mental headquarters, pulsing heart, expanding lungs, and newly formed muscles needed to unite and harmonize like a symphony orchestra. You are not an accident. You are the opposite of an accident. At this moment, in fact, in order for you to read, well, listen, in your case, these very letters, your body is hard at work allowing your eyes to receive light, for your oxygenated brain to process them into a language you understand, and for your nutrient-rich neurons to rationalize abstract thoughts. It's just vividly clear that you are brilliantly designed, magnificently complex, functionally wired, and holistically connected. To claim you're the result of mere time and chance is laughable and ludicrous. It's like believing the most complex computer in the world could accidentally design itself, wire its own circuitry board by chance, plug itself in, haphazardly create a coherent digital language that enables it to communicate, then write all the code for its own operating system and unintentionally survive and reproduce itself for thousands of generations. Not a chance. As the Bible emphatically says, we did not make ourselves, Psalm 100, verse 3. A brilliantly creative, lovingly intentional, powerfully capable God designed and crafted each one of us, Psalm 139:13. That's why your identity, and actually even destiny, is excellent and not a walking accident. And that's where I'll stop reading.
Amen. I got 15 different things going on here, but thank you, Lord. Pretty good for what I heard of it.
No, do you want me to read it again, Michael? No.
Yeah, please. No, that's fine.
I mean, it hit me yesterday when I was reading it, and I transcribed it into a you know, Word document and a PDF. So I can send it to you, Michael, if you want.
Yeah, please.
Okay. I love
that. Thank you. Amen. All right, anybody else?
Yes. Yeah. I'll just add. Thanks for sharing that, Greg. That's just a really good reminder when the enemy's trying to beat you up about anything of your past or rejection or anything else is, no, we are uniquely created specifically, beautifully, perfectly by him and for him. And the enemy can't steal that from you. So don't let him. He may try. Don't let him.
Amen. Go ahead, Will.
My mom wants to say something.
Okay, go ahead, Miss Louise.
Sorry, evening, everybody. I actually enjoyed Greg's part, but somehow earlier today, I came across a question, or my daughter said something about God's character, and I immediately thought of the part that we are actually made in His image, and then it struck me that we're all very different, and God made absolutely everything, and He also says, you know, He's holy, so we must be holy. But somehow it's a very big topic. I don't know. I might just leave this as a question. But anyway.
Go ahead, Claire.
It seems like we've come full circle from, you know, what Paula said in the beginning about being, we're supposed to walk a certain way and do these things, and how do we do it? And we've gone this whole way, and we've come back to what Louisa said about being, I'm holy, so be holy. And I think it's just so wonderful that it's, everything's tying in so beautifully. And I think for us, we've just got to remember that the only way we are holy is through faith, which is a gift. And when you are faithful, you want to be obedient, and that obedience draws the fruit and it draws you closer. So I think that all of those things just tie in so beautifully, and I'm just so grateful that I get to be part of this, because it's a constant reminder. It's wonderful.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Well, anybody got anything we need to pray about before we leave? We're running out of time. Y'all see Missy's hand? Anybody see Missy's hand but me? I don't see it. Y'all see it? I don't see nothing.
Well, I'll be the preacher and say, I see that hand.
Funny.
Go ahead, Missy.
I just hear lately in the evening, on just come evening, like, you know, like after dinner, I'm just spent. It's hard for me to, I'm just tired, and it's hard for me to do anything but like listen to a Bible study or something like that, and then I usually fall asleep for a while or whatever, and I've been battling with this, and I just want prayer for that. You know, I want to be able to read something and feel like I'm absorbing it and not falling asleep, you know. So
okay, well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, you heard her request. She's asking that you keep her awake during David's Bible studies. And Lord, we're not. Thank you, Lord, for her and everybody on here. We just praise you, Father. When she reads it, she's going to get it. And it's going to be a revelation to her, Lord. And when she hears it, she's not going to fall asleep. We talked about this the other night. It's the reason I'm laughing about it. Thank you, Lord, that when she listens to David, she's going to hear everything he says and understand everything that's going on, in Jesus' name. Amen. And if she falls asleep, she's going to get it anyway, because her spirit's still listening, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I want some energy in my body. I don't want to peter Amen. Out at the end of the day. Just give yep. me energy and you know, strength or whatever it is I need to just feel energized in Jesus' name. The energy of your Holy Spirit, the power of your Holy Spirit in yes. my body.
Yeah, for all of us, Lord. Supernatural energy. Jesus' Amen. Name. Like it all. And then when we lay our... Yeah, when we lay our head on the pillow to go to sleep, we all go to sleep and don't wake up until we get up in the morning. Amen. Supercharged, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for allowing us to be led by your Holy Spirit tonight. It's been an awesome time, Father. Wasn't planned. Praise God. Somebody, let's see. Hang on here. Somebody's saying something here. Will said, I saw lightning strike just hit you, Missy. You're awake.
Power of the Lord in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord, for blessing everybody on here tonight. And we ask, Father, that you fill us all up with your Holy Spirit. And, Lord, we thank you for this spiritual fast that you have us on. It's an awesome time with you, Lord, and you're teaching us a lot of things. Amen. And I know we're going to need it in the days ahead. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Bless everybody here tonight with a good night's sleep tonight, Lord, and ready to go in the morning. In the name of Jesus. And those that are already up for tomorrow, we thank you, Lord, that tomorrow night they have a good night's sleep too, Lord. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Y'all be blessed.
Amen.
Amen. I wonder if I can quickly ask Johan a question about Sweden.
Yes.
I'm just curious.